All right. Well, we'll get started tonight. Well, it's good to have everyone here. We're doing, again, the words, studying, understanding the words of Jesus. And I pray that so far we're seeing how important this is, how valuable it is. So tonight we're going to try to take on at least two sections and really consider some of the things that's being said. It took some time for us to kind of get through the birth narratives and showed you a few things throughout that process. I believe that was some of the things we needed to understand when it comes to prophecy. If the scripture says that it's a prophecy that's been quoted and we can't find it in the Tanakh, then we should take some time to consider why is that and how it can benefit us. I hope that was shown to you in the last service we were here, understanding the stump representing Nazareth, and there would be a branch that would grow out of that. I think it's very powerful, and it's important to us. So tonight we're going to continue with these understanding the words of Jesus, and we're going to look at this, the boy Jesus at 12. The boy Jesus at 12 visits Jerusalem, tarries behind, talks in temple with doctors, speaks to his mother, his first recorded words. His first recorded words. So this is going to be important. If it's the first thing he said, we want to make sure we look at it carefully. And it's not a lot. As we're building this thing, eventually it's going to get to where he says so much in one of our services, we're going to have to take several weeks just to go through all of the things he said. So right now, it's just kind of taking you through that. So we hope that you understand that. So at age 12, Nazareth to Jerusalem, there's a visit there. He's still living in Nazareth. And we're in Luke 2, 40 through 52. Luke chapter 2, 40 through 52. So we want to go there now and look at it. In verse 40, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of Elohim was upon him." Now, there's a lot right there in that one statement there. There's a lot to take from it. The child grew. Think about that. We're talking about Yeshua growing, and he waxed strong in spirit. Now we're dealing with, I guess today what we would consider a child, not a baby. He's not a baby anymore, but he's a child, 12 years old. And in the Bible is saying this about him. Now this is Luke's account, and it says the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So there was something definitely different about him. There's no doubt about it. There was something different about him. Filled with wisdom and grace of Elohim was upon him. So he's filled with wisdom, and there's a reason for that. God saw fit to make sure that he was connected very closely to a family unit, a family, remember, understand that, a family that would do the things necessary for him to grow strong, wax strong in spirit. So we're talking about a 12-year-old, Christ, the 12-year-old, he's the anointed one. Now, a lot of this hadn't been revealed to many, but to some, they knew it. Who's the first one knew it? Mary, she knew it. She kept these things. She kept these things. Remember that. It meant something to her. So she had the visitation from the angel. When that big old angel come and visited her, she fear came on her, but she realized this is an important message here. Well, what she was told, she kept them close to her. She didn't discard them. How many of you have been told something from the Lord? Maybe it wasn't a big old angel, but God sent a word to you. You can't discard them. If you just kind of put them on the side and say, well, maybe it's not that important. Well, she didn't do that. Mary didn't do that. She realized that the child she would have was going to be something important. After all, she was told by the angel that he was going to be the one that would bring salvation. Then you got Joseph. Joseph, he said, you know what? I'm all on board with this. It bothered them at first, but they knew they had something special. And so we can tell now how important the parents were. How important was Joseph and Mary to Jesus' life, because it said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Think about that. We're dealing with a 12-year-old now. I want you to understand. I'm not talking about Jesus at 30 yet. We're dealing with a 12-year-old. How important it is to train up our children in the way they should go. See, when they're at that age, it's all on the parents. It's all on the parents of how they received what thus said the Lord on behalf of their child. How did they receive it? Remember, the angel didn't tell Jesus nothing. But there was, from the time he was born, there was this appearance, as it were, of angels all the time. How many remember the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest? Remember that? There was a whole host of them showed up. There was some that showed up to the shepherds, keeping watching the fields at night. All this is significant. It's not stuff just wrote down so we can read some narrative and have something fancy to read. This is important stuff. We got to pick up on all those little things when you go through this and you combing through this, and you want to make sure you're covering as much as you possibly can. But God made sure He had some praying mama and a praying dad that come in they come in koinonia with God from the angel and said, we're going to do everything you tell us to do. They kept them things in their heart. And in verse 41 said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Huh? His parents. Whose parents? Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem because of the feast of Passover. Now we're talking in the Brit Hadishah here. This was not something that ended just because Christ was born. Nor did it end because he died. We're talking about they understood that when God sets an appointed time, we ought to be there. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. If we were honest with ourselves, since we started showing up on Passover, it makes a difference in your life. There's something about being obedient to God. It's an experience that you can't explain to nobody until they do it for themselves. But we know that his parents, and that's what I call them, his parents, because that's what the scripture calls them. Joseph, he didn't take part in fathering him, but he had to be the guy that was there day in and day out. He had to be the dad. Let me understand that. And so he had to make sure that he lived his life right. How do we know he did? The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Everything is important to understand about reading the text. So every year at the Feast of Passover, isn't that interesting? And when he was 12 years old, how many see that? So it tells us. He was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So there was something that, what was the custom of the feast? Every year, you would come out and they would make sure that they would follow what was prescribed in the scripture, in the Tanakh. This was not something strange to them. They were Jews. They understood this. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Yeshua tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now I want you to think about that, because that back then traveling was not getting in a car and doing 65 miles an hour, getting away from the scene. You know, how many of you ever had a big gathering, and when the gathering was over, people just went? Well, that's not what happened there. They had a big gathering. It was kind of a slow process, and there was a community effort. And they would start going back to their hometown, in this case, back to Nazareth. Well, there were many people. So the kids are playing with each other. Kids are all over. They're in a caravan, a good caravan. And they're all going around. So it's not something that they would have thought strange. Jesus is playing. He's 12. 12-year-old. We're dealing with a child. He's 12. So they're not thinking anything strange here. And they supposing him to have been in the company. In the company of the caravan with a day's journey. So a day's journey would be, the journey would be just in the daylight. The day's journey, then they would camp at night. And they sought him among the kinfolks and acquaintances, because that's what. So we're getting a kind of a picture of what mom and dad knew about Jesus at 12. He would be out playing with the rest of the kids and amongst the kinfolks, no big deal. So folks think that he was Jesus, so he was kind of locked up in the Jesus room until the time for him to come out and do miracles. No, he was just a regular kid. He went out and played with all the rest of the kids. That's what it's telling us that. That's what they thought. He's out there, he'll be all right. 12-year-old. Back then, 12-year-old boys, they had already learned and memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. They already were doing adult things. They were not immature. They already had to be a part of the company, the clan, their tribe. They already had to function at levels that we wouldn't need, put a 12-year-old in today. So in our society today, the functionality of a 12-year-old is so different than it was then. So keep that in mind. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. After 3 days. Now, they were looking for him. They turned back and went back, but it took them 3 days looking in the city. Now, I'm sure there was sort of a panic about that time, because even back then, there was trafficking going on heavy. I can take you all the way back to the light. Joseph was trafficked. We can go back and see all that. So human trafficking was prevalent then. So I could imagine there were all sorts of thoughts in their mind. And so after 3 days, where did they find him? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. Now we're starting to get a little bit picture of the expectation that God is wanting us to see in his life. Both hearing them, that's important, and asking them questions. Can you imagine the questions coming from a 12-year-old that already understood the law of Yahweh? Think about that. What type of questions he had. Now, notice where. So he's going to get involved right away. Now, let me tell you why. There has to be a distinguishing life that sets Yeshua apart so they know that he is the Messiah. Other than that, he's just a regular 12-year-old child. There has to be something distinguished. So we already have a few accounts. What's the account? He was born in Bethlehem. That's an account. That's what the prophecy said. That's the account. So we know that. So they adding all these things up, because there were many in those days who claimed to be Messiah. There were many. He wasn't the first. Many in those days claimed to be Messiah. And so now we're going to figure out if this is really the Messiah. So there are many things that's happening. So now, right up front, we're going to get some indications that he is Messiah. Verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his answers, understanding and answers. Notice that they were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, what set him apart was the fact that what he had learned from his parents, he took it to heart. We're about to have him prove that case. He took it to heart. They said it's time to be serious. He was serious. Now, he wasn't serious because he was Yeshua. He was 12-year-old. The child grew. The child waxed strong in spirit. This was a daily thing. It wasn't some gimme. He was automatically going to win this thing. Is that what we think as believers? Well, it's no problem. He automatically going to win this thing. No, he was up against it. He was. He had to succumb to the peer pressure of being 12. Hanging out with guys that didn't really take it serious. I wonder how many other children they found in the temple asking questions and giving answers. But he had to take it serious. This was his turn. And so I want you to understand that. Now, I don't want you to come from the perspective that he, no matter what happens, he's God and he's going to win because it's just the way it is. Why don't we keep him fully human and let's see how serious he was about what thus said Yahweh. Because if that's the case, then the same thing can happen for us if we take it serious. That's called a true example. And I can show you, it repeats it often, he was an example for us. So we do what he does, how are we going to have success? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? She said it not because she was upset with him to the fact that she was angry, but she was fearful that something happened to him. What are we going to do if something happened to you? Should have told us. Why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father, notice her words, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowful. Now, in Mary's mind and how she lived daily, she would not take from Joseph the fact that that was his boy. She had that level of respect. Even though what she kept in her heart was the angel said, the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be of the Spirit of Yahweh. Now she understood Spirit of Yahweh and what that means. This is not physical contact. This is not physical sexual contact. As some teach. Some teach the Spirit came down and had sex with Mary. I mean, that's the kind of crazy stuff goes on. The internet's full of this stuff. But she understood the power of God and what God had to do to create, to be creative. We're talking about Spirit of God creating in the womb without the assistance of physical contact from a human side, but it was by Holy Spirit. She understood that. So she kept that in her heart. But she also understood from a Jewish perspective, Joseph, in the sight of the people, has to be his father. They're going to get us out of here. Notice what she's dealing with. She understood that fact. And they wouldn't tolerate it. Nor would they ever call him Messiah. That's already out the window. Not going to happen. So she had to make sure that Joseph understood that, and the angel let him know, don't be afraid, do what I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. And Mary had to understand that. They got to raise the one who's going to save the world from the sins. They're raising him. Imagine that. They got to take everything serious. In verse 49, and he said unto them, this is the first thing he ever said that we have recorded. Now, we know if he's playing with kids, he probably talked. He probably said things to his mom and dad. But the only thing that Mary said back to Luke was this. That's why it's the only thing that we can really talk about. But he said a lot of things, probably. Who would disagree with that? I mean, that he didn't. I mean, we got to know that he talked. But the only thing Mary, the eyewitness, the one who had this conversation, reverted. Luke wasn't here. She told him, this is what happened. This is the case. So keep that in mind. She let him know, this is what happened. They're talking. And he's writing it down. He's taking notes. And he said unto them, this is Jesus' words, how is it that ye sought me? How is it that ye sought me? Question. Next question. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's, capital F, Father's business? Just for that, we had the lowercase F. He's not talking about Joseph here. Notice that. Not talking about Joseph. But in the narrative, we read it, we got Joseph being called who? Father, with definite respect. If you'd ask Jesus who his daddy was, he said, that guy right there. If you'd ask the community, what would they say? Is this not Joseph's son? Remember that statement? That's what they thought. Everybody thought that. But then we got a shift here. How many see this shift? Meaning that normal living, that's what we do. We have normal lives. We live in our lives. And then we got the calling of God comes on our life. If we answer the call of God, we say, what do? It's like being married. We have single life, and we live in single life. Then we answer the call to marriage. We step in. There's no more single life. Christ, he's 12. He's living normal life, playing with kids, doing all that. He steps into the ministry, the calling. Now, it's not official. It don't officially happen until he's 30, because according to the word of God, he can't break the law of God. It can't happen until 30. But what can he be set apart? At 12 years old, he's proven that he took it very serious, because he goes quiet after 12. And for 18 years, we hear nothing that he said. Now, how many believe he still talked? How many believe he still grew and waxed strong in spirit? He was in favor with God and man. He had to be. But we have no recorded record. And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. Now we're taking it to another level. And I want you to understand. And I'm understanding. Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his parents. Now understand that. They know their boy. He's speaking to his parents, and they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. That's what the verse says. They understood not what he said. And he went down with them. Came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother, here's another shift for her. So I see something happen in him. Here he is before my eyes. And something happened. I don't know what it is, but what did she do? What she always did from the very time the big angel talked to her. She kept all these sayings in her heart. How many see that? This ought to be helping you. Just the fact that we got his first words and the whole narrative that is built around. The context is very important here. What did she do with what was said? Who spoke? Who was the speaker that she kept these words in her heart? Her own son. Yeshua. She kept these words. I'm going to make a note of this because this is profound. If mama keeps a note, we might ought to keep a note too. We ought to make a note. We're going to find out. We're going to make some notes on what he said. In verse 52, right after she listens to what he says, and Yeshua increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with Yahweh and man. So I would believe that that was a very pivotal point of what it means to receive the instructions of Yahweh. To step into that, you know, life is going to be different from this point on. It's going to be different, really different. So Yeshua's first words are two important questions. Number one, how is it that ye sought me? Now, I want you to understand what he's talking about there. And number two, wist ye not that I must be about my Father, talking about Yahweh. This is the first time this is mentioned now in the Brit Hadishah, that he describes Yahweh as his Father. That's important. I'm about my Father's business. How many know that there's some business that needs to be tended to? If we expect anything in way of really coming to full bloom in our walk with God in ministry, we got to understand the business of Yahweh. How many know that the Yahweh's business, there's no time to be slacked. He don't play. None of that stuff. It's all business. And he's about his Father's business. So what he says, he's 12 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't get my mind off the fact that he's talking to the doctors and they're amazed. So there's some level here of understanding that he took very serious. Now, again, I want you to understand, not because we're going to all of a sudden at 12, we got God as a baby who needs help feeding himself. That could be a real problem. We got God who can't even control his own bladder. I'm quoting people who preach this. That's a problem. We got God who needs help to learn how to walk. And now we have God, we just go forward at 12, and so that's why he amazed the doctors, because he's God. My point that I'm trying to make to you is, why don't we leave him, the boy Jesus, the child, and let's see how the human Christ, the Messiah, started out his life and what was important to him, and how, because it became important to him, God gave him favor. If somebody got it all, what can you give them? If you're God, so we got to establish this truth. If you're God, you have it all. And if you have it all, what can be given to you? The important thing is to remember that God didn't have to become man to show man how to love God. He needed a man who would love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, with all his strength. He just had to find him one, and he found that man in Yeshua HaMashiach. Couldn't find it in Adam. Because Adam was, I can't give you the story where Adam was about the Father's business. I can't give you that story. So this is important, valuable for us to understand what we have to consider here. Now, would you expect anything different from Yeshua? Think about that. Would you expect anything different from Yeshua? I must work This is what he said in John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me. You wouldn't expect anything. You know, it's almost like he was telling his parents, it shouldn't have took you 3 days, because I have shown you from the time I was born to 12 that if I'm going to be anywhere, the first chance I get, I'm going to be in my father's house about my father's business. You could have come straight here, because this is where I've been the whole time. I've been right here. Why? We know that John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So what was he also doing? He was redeeming the time. He was taking advantage of a wonderful opportunity. They were already all there for Passover. It's a great time. And I don't know why God decided at 12 to kind of make him, you know, it was like the Broadway play is about to start, and the only scene you get is they open a curtain just a little bit for you to peek in, and there he is at 12. And then they close the curtain, and you got to wait 18 more years before the curtain busts wide open. Just enough to get you interested. Just enough to say, man, I got it. What is this about? That's what we find in these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear Elohim. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward Elohim endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Remember, buffeting for whose fault? Our faults. How many know, like, it's like when you do something and it wasn't supposed to be done and you get buffeted for your faults, how am I supposed to take it? Patiently. It's a great question. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with Elohim. That's the one that's most difficult. If you've done wrong and you get buffeted for the wrong and you can't take that patiently because you had it coming, you'll never take it patiently when you did nothing and you get buffeted by the enemy. I want to learn that process. Very important. Verse 21. For even here unto you, unto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us. Now watch what he did. Leaving us an example. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He left us an example. I believe he's already started at age 12 leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. At some point in life, in this case at 12 years old, some point in life, we adults here mostly, and some of you are children, we got to decide, are we going to do what God wants us to do? There's got to be a decision. You know, people want the things of God, the goodness of God, but there has to be a decision at some point in life that I'm going to be about my Father's business. That is serious to me. Let me tell you, when you take church serious and it becomes something that's a part of your life, God will step up and do miracles in your life. He'll give you avenues of success. He'll bless you going out and coming in. We got to learn these things. Very important. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power. Now watch this. Highlight it for a reason. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Now, why did he create Yeshua? Because let's never forget, he created him. That was a creative miracle in the womb of Mary. And that's something that we have to make sure that we don't forget. A created miracle in the womb of Mary. I'll read it to you again. For thou hast created all things, including Yeshua. And for thy pleasure, they were created. So, yep, why he said, I'm here about my Father's business. Because what I'm doing right now, it pleases him. It pleases him. It's about Yahweh's pleasure. What pleases him is when we obey. Now, did he create Adam? According to Scripture, he stook the dust of the ground and he created man in his own image and likeness. And so if we have a first Adam that's created, God created him, and we talk about the second Adam and he can't be created, that's a problem. That he always existed, that's an issue there. He created him. Are they the same if they're not made the same? Can we parallel them? Could we say they're equals? We can't do that. If one's because remember the whole part of Adam is the fact that God withheld God from him. Some godhood from him. That's what Satan said. You'll be as God, be like an Elohim, knowing good and evil. And he believed that. Godhood was kept from him. And so, because of that, so what do? We just put godhood in Jesus? When he never even claimed that himself? But somehow the church claimed godhood for him? All the guys got together, the bishops, and they mulled around, and before you knew it, they claimed godhood. This is very important principles. First thing Yeshua did was establish the right priorities. First thing he did, he established the right priorities. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim. When he was in that temple, in that synagogue there, what was he doing? He was saying, at 12, we're going to seek first the kingdom of Elohim. Serve Elohim wholeheartedly. I'm going to give you these principles because they're practical things. These are things we got to do. Let me back up again. First thing Yeshua did was establish the right priorities. How many know that's important? Don't you think we ought to establish priorities when it comes to being a child of God? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It's very important to keep that in mind. So when I come to the Lord and I start serving Him, first thing I need to remember, what Yeshua did. What did He do? He had all the deepest respect for Joseph, the deepest respect for Mary. He loved his parents. He loved them with everything that's in them. He wouldn't do anything to hurt them. He said, but I can't understand how you sought me for 3 days and until they were in a panic. With sorrow they sought. Something happened to him. Somebody took him. Now this wasn't the first time people were out to kill him. Remember we read last week, Herod killed all the babies from 2 years old downward because they were about the same time born. He just killed them all. They were seeking his life from the day he was born. So here he is. Thoughts will go through your mind. But he calms them down. He calms them. He's 12. Mom and dad's in the panic. He's calming them down. I've been here the whole time. You should have known that. You taught me this. There got to come a time in your life that you say, okay, I got to set a priority. He did it at 12. You know, we try to give our kids some time. I'm going to just tell you this. They don't have to be adults to get saved and make some sound decisions in their life. They don't have to be. Sit down and explain to them what's the ins and outs of serving God, what's the prize, eternal life, living in the kingdom of God. Do you want that? And they can make a sound decision. Because it's around that time that the enemy bids very high for kids. And they make that decision because they got more pulling on them in that realm. We ought to teach our children that they can make sound decisions. Don't keep them children all their life. They can make decisions at a young age to serve Elohim. Very important. So that's what he did. He established right priorities. Then he served Elohim wholeheartedly. You got to put your whole heart in it. Let the light, your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. So that's something that he established. In Deuteronomy 6:4-7, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Very important. That's what he was doing. At 12, remember that, he's doing all these things. In these words, verse 6, in these words which I command thee this day. How many know words? If we're to take his words to be important, and that's what we're studying, the words of Jesus. If we're to take his words and claim them, the importance of his words, he took the words of Yahweh very serious. That's why he said, "This is not. I'm not saying what I want to say. I'm saying what he said to me. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." What keeps a 12-year-old in the synagogue speaking and answering questions with the doctors? He kept them in his heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thank God for Mary and Joseph. I can't tell you how we ought to give them a hand clap. We ought to tell them that you did a fine job. No wonder she was highly favored. Mary was highly favored. Joseph was favored. God couldn't have picked a better parents for Jesus that he picked. And I'm thankful they accepted. Because they had to accept it. There's a lot of things could have went wrong here. A lot of things could have went wrong, but they accepted it. And look what the results were. Teach them unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sit in the house, when thou walk by the way, when thou risest, when thou walk in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Very important. So I want to encourage everybody, encourage your children, even at a young age, serve the Lord. Serve him. The question is, who is your father? Who is your father? John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Here we have this my Father and your Father scenario. Now I want to make this very clear to you. This is exactly what plays out in our life every day. It's either my Father or your Father. Think about that. Now I want to take you this. This has been a spiritual level. Let's look at it. John 8:44. This is his words again. He's speaking. I'm not really covering these yet, but I'm having to use them because of what he said in the synagogue. The two questions that were profound, right? Two great questions. Did he ask those questions in general to the public? He's asking them to Joseph and Mary. Remember, the questions are directed to two people, Joseph and Mary. Not to the rest. He's directing them questions to them. We have to take them questions from their standpoint and see the significance of why he said what he said. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. What? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. Now what is he taking us back? With John 8 now. He's older. But what he takes is he takes us back to the beginning. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a lie and the father of it. So, number one, first thing Yeshua did, establish right priorities. Number two, I got three for some reason. There I go. Number two, it really should be number two. Number two, serve Elohim wholeheartedly. And number three, he answered the question, who is your father? Because his question was, I'm about my father's business. You understand that? What did he say? I'm about my father's business. He had to establish that right. So he loves his mom and dad. They're looking for him. But they had to understand clearly what was about to happen. Because you have to understand, they're in a mix of this too. They're emotional. That's their baby. He's 12. What does he do? He said, I just want you to know, you find me in the synagogue, I'm here about my Father's business. No disrespect whatsoever. He was establishing what needed to be, the priorities had to be set. You taught me this all my life, and I'm stepping up, and I'm going to do what Yahweh says. I'm going to be about my Father's business. Now, you're either going to be about your Father's business or my Father's business. How many understood that? So you got to take the same thing in your own words. When we worshiping, my Father. If you're out there doing your thing, your Father. Now, I'm talking about physical fathers, okay? I'm established that in John. I'm talking about, he makes this point that there's Father God and there's your Father, the devil. He's not calling our fathers the devil. He's talking about two distinct beings that are contrary to one another. They're at war. And let's never forget that. They're at war. The devil seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But through Christ, he said, I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Think about that. And so we see that. So Yeshua was about his Father's business. So he understood that principle. Now, I went long on that. I didn't think I was just going to run through it, but it was, thank you, Lord. So I got John at 30 being baptized. We'll take that up in the morning. All right? Oh, Jesus at 30. Being baptized by John. Okay. So we'll take that up in the morning. So I hope that we learn something tonight about Jesus being 12. Because he goes from 12 to 30 pretty quick here. Curtain closes. You got a little glimpse. When you get that glimpse, don't just brush over it. It's important. What did I learn? What did we learn tonight about this 12-year-old Jesus? What did we learn? He established the right priorities. He understood this is important. And I'm telling you, if you don't figure that out, right priorities, it's going to be a tough day for you. It's going to be real tough. And that's what the enemy wants. Because if you're not establishing right priorities, you won't be about your Father's business. You're not going to do it. And he understood those principles. And he laid them out for us very clear. And so I hope that you have received tonight and it's ministered to your life as it did mine going through this study. So in the morning, we'll take up where we left off and we'll try to go as far as we can in the morning. So I want to just tell you, God bless you, every one of you here. If there anybody need prayer for anything.